Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that this is the hour that we need your presence more than any time on earth. And Father, knowing that you are here, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to come into that image of the firstborn Son, which you ordained us to come forth into. And Father, knowing that you saw us before the foundations of the world the way we ought to be, we pray, Father, that you would help us to get ourselves out of the way, that you might finish the work which you began in us. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, we'll once again look at Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And from paragraph 78, where Brother Branham said, you can't be a seed and disagree with the Word because the Word is a seed. And if you are the Word, how can you disagree with it? You'd be disagreeing with yourself. You'd be defeating your own purpose. Like somebody said, why do you ever go out with them people like that? Well, if I didn't do it, I'd be defeating the very purpose that I was sent for. There's got to be a light. Now, as we go down, we're going to bring them things in and show just how they set themselves in order, just exactly perfectly with the Word. Now, notice he said, you can't be seed and disagree with the Word because the Word is a seed. And if you are the Word, how can you disagree with it? Therefore, I would like to ask the question, in what ways do people disagree with the Word? And the reason I ask this question is because people disagree with the Word of God every day, and yet in their own minds, they do not think that they're disagreeing with the Word. But they are, and they don't realize what they're doing. Now, this morning, I'd like to look at several ways that people change the meaning of the Word, even though they might think that they're actually believing the Word. And first of all, let's look at when Satan approached Eve. I want you to notice that she did not realize he was disagreeing with the Word that God had spoken, because his approach was so slick that he was able to insert into the quotation of God just one little word that changed the entire meaning of what God said, and he asked it in the form of a question mark. You see, so he wasn't exclamatory. He wasn't saying, you know, I don't believe what God said. He said, surely the Lord said this, and do you think it really means this? And got her to question what it meant, you see. But it was a word that God had given to Adam. See, Eve never heard it herself. God spoke to Adam. He said, the trees, he said, don't eat of that tree. The day you do, the day you're going to die. Then after that, God said that, could see that Adam was lonely, so God brought forth his wife. So she heard it from her husband. So it was actually the word of God that she heard from her husband that she disagreed with, or that she was taught to disagree with, by another man. You see? Therefore, without disagreeing with the actual words God had said, what did the serpent do that showed that he was disagreeing with God's word? Well, the serpent didn't outright deny what God had said. In fact, he quoted every single word that God had said back to her. But what he did do is that he changed the meaning of what God had said. He said to Eve, Eve, everything you quoted me is just, is what he said. That's what God said. That's true, but she surely didn't mean that you would physically die. You see? So he agreed with the word, but by adding one little word, he changed the entire meaning of what God had said. He said, not. God said, you shall surely die. He said, you shall not surely die. You think God would do that to you? You see, playing on their reasoning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. When their eyes opened, what happened? They knew their condition. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Notice, what was their reaction then? Look at their shame. they hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And so God, first thing he says, well, who told you that you're naked? What happened? Did you eat the tree that I told you not to do? Now, I want you to notice the behavior of Adam and Eve. Notice that they sinned by disbelieving God's word. And then when they heard God's voice, they hid themselves in shame for what they had done. They didn't want to face up to their sin. They wanted to hide the outcome of their sin from God. And I might say this to you, when you sin, when you fall short, don't hide it from God. Because you can't anyway. But be quick to confess it and then move on with your life. Get it out in the open for God to deal with. The worst thing there is a secret sinner, because that person is a hypocrite. So when you come short of the glory of God, then face up to it immediately. Don't hide from God. But this is the hour that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for the blood to cover our sin. Then move forward with your life. Don't let your sin stop your progress towards coming into the image of the firstborn son. Be a man, face the music, and move forward. That's the only way that God can deal with your sin, and you can deal with it. That's the way David was. When he recognized his sin, he went to sackcloth and ashes. He made a public repentance before God, before man even, of his sin with Bathsheba. Because, look, everybody knew what was going on. David had to do it public, but I'm telling you, you don't have to make your private sins public to the church. The Bible does say confess your fault one to another, but that's if you have a fault against another person. Then you have to go to that person to get the thing stopped, get that attitude stopped, and then you move forward. But you need to confess it. You need to then move on. Put it behind you and press on toward the mark of the high calling. The mature person does that. The immature person keeps going back, dwelling and dwelling and dwelling, going back and dwelling. They can't get over it. But the person that has victory in Jesus Christ, they can sin but get over it. And they can move on and press ahead. And that's what we need to do. You need to deal with the thing, not hide it, not cover it. From the greatest battle ever fought, Brother Branson, now what did Satan do? Satan had the others anointed. Now Satan anoints his servants. Oh, sure. He anoints his servants. And what does he anoint them with? Unbelief. Satan and his demons anoint humanity to disbelieve God's word. Now if you want to confirm that, you turn to Genesis 3 and 4. Let's just turn back there and listen to this just a minute and see if this ain't his first tactic. That's the first thing he did. He never leaves his same tactics. He does it all the time. Now, just see if that's what it is. Now, he didn't disagree with the word. He just caused her to kind of misconstrue that a little, you know. Just kind of make it sound like they wanted it to sound. Don't take the whole word. So you can see, you can say that you believe everything that God's vindicated prophet has spoken to us in the name of the Lord, but then to add one little word of your own, you can change the entire meaning of it and go straight to hell in doing it. Now, the word misconstrue means to mistake the meaning of. It means to misinterpret or misunderstand the meaning of. In other words, to take the wrong understanding instead of the way it was actually meant, and to do so is death. Therefore, another way to disagree with the Word of God is to hold to your traditions and creeds, making the Word of God of none effect, because you have your tradition, you lay aside the Word. In fact, Matthew 15 and 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not thy father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. You are hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. from the way of a true prophet, Brother Branham said, why you think Phoenix would receive him? Do you think Louisville would receive him? New York, Boston, Massachusetts, or wherever it might be, California? No, sir. They'd have that little fellow in jail as quick as they could get him there. Certainly would. They would certainly do that. If he went back to the Word, I'm sure they would, because every group would disagree with him. There wouldn't be a one that would agree with him, because they have to hold to their traditions in order to disagree with the Word. We'd have to remember that he's a true prophet. If he was a prophet sent from God, he would be one mark to him, one definite mark that we know that he was a prophet. He would stay with the Word, because that's where the Word of God came, was to the prophets. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we have as a tradition in the way we live, in our family, that is contrary to the Word of God? Like Brother Vail would always say, blood is thicker than water. Do we allow the sin of our children to get in our way with our walk with God? Do we allow the sin of our mother, father, or sister, brother to get in the way of our walk with God? Remember, I'm trying to remember the name of the fellow, but Joshua. You know, he said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In other words, you cannot put anyone, family, friend, anyone ahead of God's word. But that's a family tradition. You know, people do it. Well, that's just mother's talking, you know, or that's just dad, or that's just, you know, the children, you know, they're not serving the Lord, so we'll just kind of turn our eyes and turn our head and just let them do what they're going to do. No, you can't. Because you're held accountable for the stand that you take. You see? But by traditions, what do? By traditions, we disbelieve the word. And so I'm showing you six different things that we do as a people that we're showing our disbelief in the word. All right? Now, the third way you can disagree with the word of God is by being slow of heart. Jesus called them slow-hearted. That means sluggards in their mind to understand what's going on. I want you to think about that, because that's the most... Well, it's probably the most common used. Well, I just don't understand. You know, the things a preacher says, well, you know, they're so deep. I just don't understand. No, you choose not to understand. It's made very simple, very plain. It's black, it's white. You choose not to understand. Slow of heart, sluggish. You don't want to move out of your comfort zone. So you disbelieve the word. And you're showing by being slow of heart that. And that's just the way people do. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet at Galilee, saying, the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day he shall rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day from the village to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they walked together and talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near himself and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these things that you have one to another, as you walk in or sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering him, or said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass in these last days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trust that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as so the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Amplified says, And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull in perception, and slow of heart to believe, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. And the translation called the Message, it says, Then he said to them, So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets have said? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now the fourth way that you can disbelieve the word of God is to misinterpret the word based on your senses and your experiences. Therefore, if your senses or experiences run contrary to the word of God, then just let them go. And believe the word the way that God said it. From the greatest battle ever fought, Brother Branham said, if you got your senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and they're all right, but don't trust them unless they agree with the word. They're all right, but if they disagree with the word, don't you listen to them. Now, imagination, conscience, memories, reasons, affections, they're all right if they agree with the word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. You blow a flue right quick. If your memory, if your imagination, if your conscience, anything that disagrees with that, what's on the inside, get rid of it. How many people make that mistake? Because maybe they like a certain person. Maybe the person is related, maybe they're not. But because they like the person, because they've got an affection toward that person, they allow that person's unbelief to be called, not called into question or not challenged. And Brother Branham said, get rid of it. Now, the fifth way you can disagree with the Word of God is by thinking that you're right in your interpretation of the Word of God when you're actually not right. Now, this is so important for us to understand that we'll spend most of our time this morning studying this point. 1 Peter 1, verse 9, he says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark places, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there is no scripture that has any private interpretation. Brother Brown said, the way it's written, that's the way God said it. That's the way it means. From Hear Ye Him, Brother Brown said, all the scripture is of no private interpretation. It was wrote by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal it. For it is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and it's revealed to babes such as will learn. So if you don't watch, if you don't use the mind of the Holy Spirit to put it together, you'll have your scene all mixed up. For instance, just like a cow picking grass in the top of a tree. And that's just about the way that some of it looks. When we think that we could go to heaven by shaking hands with the preacher, or being baptized in water a certain way, or a little creed to repeat, why, it's ridiculous. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So the picture looks ridiculous, but the only way that we could find is by receiving the Holy Spirit first in us. Then he teaches us the truth and the life. He will never disagree with the word. He's always on the word. So if the spirit in you that says that the days of miracles is past, it's not the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus has changed in the years that's gone by, if that spirit in you says that, then it's not the blessed Holy Spirit. It bears record of the word. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. From Perseverance, Brother Branson, now the devil is not like some of you people think. He's mean and everything, but he's deceitful. The devil makes you think that you're right when you disagree with the word. That shows that it isn't the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. And then it's got to be agreeable with the word. And remember last Sunday, just one little disbelief in God's word. Eve, Satan told her the truth, and he never denied the word being true. But that one little part of the word caused all of this trouble. The woman disbelieved it because she was hunting for wisdom instead of staying with the word. When God says anything, heavens and earth will pass, but his word shall never pass away. God's word must be fulfilled to the dot, just to the very tittle and jot. It must be fulfilled. And from God of this evil age. Brother Ram said, he don't need anybody to interpret it. Your worldly knowledge don't have anything. You might have a B.A.D.D. or A.D. or whatever it might be. It don't mean one thing. God interprets his word himself. He promised it, and there it is. But by the knowledge of seminary, denominational preaching has caused the whole world to wonder after the beast whose deadly wound was healed from pagan to papal. And from Christ is identified the same. He said, now watch. So you'll see whether you're right or not in these thoughts we're thinking. Each one of us interprets the Bible differently. The Methodist says it should be like this. The Catholic says like this. The Lutheran like this. The Pentecostal like this. But the Bible says that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. God interprets his own Word. He don't need any interpreter. He don't need us to interpret. When God makes a promise and manifests it and makes it so, that's the interpretation thereof. God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That don't need any interpretation. When God said, let there be light, and light sprung in, that interprets his own word. He said, a virgin shall conceive. She did. He said he'd pour out his spirit in the last day upon all flesh, and he's done it. It don't need any interpretation. When God makes his word plain to you, that gives the interpretation. That's why when the people saw the great manifestation of God in this hour, they didn't understand what it was, because they weren't reading their Bible. They weren't looking for it in their scripture. They're trying to explain it by their own theology, and they couldn't do it. Because their theology said that the rapture is the second coming. There's just there's no appearing before coming. They just in twinkling of an eye we'd just all be gone. But Brother Branham came on the scene and said no. He said there's got to be a prophet, restore the hearts of the people. You see, now how does he know that's the interpretation of the word? Because he was that prophet. How do you know the people's hearts were being restored? Because they were. You could see them being restored. You see? Then there's appearing before the coming. What's the evidence of it? Well, we've got even photos of it. And the supernatural manifestation of God through a prophet. That's the interpretation then of the word. And so in 77, Brother Vail came forward. He said, look, this ministry of Brother Branham isn't just one or two verses. It's all through the Bible. And then he went into the words perusing, epiphany, and apocalypse, and fenero, and showing how God would at the end time manifest himself in a very dynamic way using a man to declare himself. Well, that's the interpretation of the scripture. Now, from Identify Christ of All Ages, Brother Ram said, listen, today we're always, man is always praising God for what he's done, always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. It's always been that same thing. And everybody's got his own private interpretation, but God is his own interpreter. God don't need one to interpret. The Bible said it's without interpretation. It don't need man. God interprets the Bible himself. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That settles it. God said, a virgin shall conceive. She did. That settled it. When God says anything and vindicates it, that's the interpretation of it. He said he'd pour out his spirit upon all in the last days, and he did it. There's no interpretation to it. It's already interpreted. Unbelievers might rise, and skeptics might stand, and whatever they might do, God did it anyhow, because he said he would do it. He doesn't need anybody to interpret him. He does his own interpretation. He made the promise, people believe it, and he interprets it to them. He's the Lord that heals all our diseases. I can't tell you how he does it, but he does it. He said he would do it, that he would do it. So it's up to our faith. He couldn't do it there without faith. Neither can he do it. He couldn't do it there without faith. Neither can he do it here or any time without faith. And from God identified by his characteristics, he said, and now bring your Bible, bring a pencil, set down the text. Go seek them out. Check them with the word and see if they're not right or not. And then don't take your own theology. Just take it the way the Bible is written. See, many times we can say it means this, it means that. God don't need any interpreter. He interprets his own word. God said, let there be light. There was light. That didn't need any interpretation. It happened just the way he said it would. He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That don't need any interpretation. God has promised a certain thing for this age that's got to come to pass. He said it would. It don't need any interpretation then. God said so, and he interprets himself. So therefore, the Bible said it's not without any private interpretation. God interprets his own word by vindicating it. In other words, God gets there. He comes on with his presence and backs it up. And just a couple more here from God's only provided place of worship. Brother Bram said, Cain was just as religious as Abel was. They both built altars. They both loved God. They both made sacrifices. They both worshiped. They both paid tithe. They both done everything just alike. But Abel, by faith, which is the revelation, the word of God revealed, made plain, showed out, vindicated, glory. Cain made an offering, but God didn't vindicate it. God required worship, and Cain made the offering, but God didn't vindicate it. But by the true channel, you say, well, my church is it. Wait just a minute. God interprets his own word by its terms that it's spoken. See, Cain said, I'm religious. I'm a lover of my maker. I offer to thee this fine altar. I offer to you this sacrifice. I built all these things up, Lord, because I love you. Abel said the same thing. Now it's the one that's vindicated, the one that's proven, and God come down and received Abel's sacrifice because by revelation he had struck the true channel of God that was accepted. And now the sixth way that you can disagree with the Word of God is by choosing to not misunderstand, to not understand it, or by holding to your own understanding of it. Some people say we don't have to understand it, we just have to believe it. Now a woman tried to do this with Brother Vail many years ago. She said, Brother Vail, I do not understand it, therefore I'm not responsible for it, all right, because I don't understand it. He said, just hold it right there. He said, you are responsible for it, therefore you had better understand it. So you see how people can think that by being mentally lazy, they can get away from being held accountable for their unbelief. Try saying that to the police officer. Well, I didn't know you couldn't be drunk and drive a car. There's no excuse. The law is the law. God's word is God's word. You better know it. But in reality, we will all have to give an account for what we've done with God's word. From birth pains, Brother Brown says, Simeon had the promise setting over in his study that morning. Oh, I guess there might have been several hundred babies brought in every morning, about 2.5 million Jews in the country. And these babies come in and many born every day. Every 8 days, the mother had to come offer offerings for purification. And now here comes Simeon, sitting there. You know, maybe reading the scroll of Isaiah, I don't know. But all at once, now if the Holy Ghost has made you a promise, the Holy Ghost has got to keep that promise. If it's really God, if a man comes through and says a certain thing, God doesn't back it up. If God doesn't back it up, it isn't scripture to begin with. Forget it. And if he says it so, and God still doesn't back it up, it's still wrong. Because God interprets his message. He's his own interpreter. What he says comes to pass. And then God said, hear him, for it's the truth. That's only common sense. And if he says it happens, and it happens, that tells it. It must be every time exactly the truth, because God don't tell lies. and from broken cisterns. You said, and when a man will cling to an ecclesiastical conception of the Scripture, instead of accepting the Holy Ghost, which vindicates the Scripture and makes it real to you, there's something spiritually wrong with that person. That's exactly right. Sure, the Holy Ghost. Each one has an interpretation of the Bible. That's what you think is right. God don't need your help. God don't need your interpretation. God's his own interpreter. God does the interpretation the way that he says he would do it. The Lord said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That don't need any interpretation. That's what God said. He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That don't need an interpretation. He said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and he did. It doesn't need any interpretation. God interprets his own word by vindicating it, manifesting it, and proving it. And from the harvest time, he said, as I've said, God don't need no interpreter. God interprets every word himself. See, you don't need everybody to interpret it to you. God interprets it to you when you're willing to accept it. Now, if you notice in the scripture we read this morning, David said that God will teach those who are meek and willing to receive. And Brother Branham says God interprets it to you when you're willing to accept it. See, that's the life. That's the life itself. Jesus said, in vain they worship me. They actually worship God. Cain actually worshiped God in the beginning. But in vain do they worship me. What's vain? It don't do no good. They might say, well, I do this, I dance in the Spirit, I speak in tongues, I prophesy, I preach the gospel, but fail to let your hair grow out. Fail on one thing and see what happens. The Spirit will leave you right quick there. That's what's happened to our churches. They failed. In vain worshiping me. Oh, it's a beautiful worship, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. I had a good talk with Pete Clawson yesterday. And Pete's concern is the same as mine, the same as Brother Hoffman. We have a lot of young people who have been raised up in this message and have never had an experience with God. Well, they say Brother Vale, when he was talking to Brother Branham, Brother Branham said, Brother Vale, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. But that doesn't do away with the experience. Brother Branham said, how can you be born again and not know it? How can a woman give birth and not know it? How can you not know that God has touched you? So my challenge to you is get on your face until you do hear from God. Like the old black man, he said, I'm going to get on my knees right here. I'm not going to get up. And if I rot and die right here, that's God's business. But my business is to try to seek out the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to make sure that I've received His Spirit. And that's our business. But too many people, they kind of, you know, they go to church. They're nice people. The whole family goes to church. You know, but there's no reality. There's no life. They don't recognize the day and the hour. They can't see that the things that are happening, even in this nation today, it's all being fulfilled. The scripture being fulfilled. Peace upon peace. The whole thing's coming together exactly as the prophet warned us. When I gave that teaching back in 1999, it was 29 pages of quotes and scriptures, hardly any of my own words to it, of things that were coming on this earth. And we see them all now coming on this earth. The Great Depression Judgment, as Brother Brown called it. We are in a depression right now, believe it or not. We are. All the marks are there. All the identifiers are there. The attributes are there. The economists and the prognosticators are all saying we are now in a depression. It's only the media that's trying to say it's a recession. But all the economists are saying, no, this is a depression. We are in a depression. And they're saying, well, you know what? The market's going up. It's going up. It's looking good. It's $8,700. It's going to pop again. It can't hold out. When you have a $9 trillion, when you had $1 trillion out there and you had $1 trillion of goods, your dollar was strong, but when you have $9 trillion printed and you only have $1 trillion worth of goods, now it's going to take $9 trillion to buy that $1 trillion worth of goods. It's just common sense. The dollar is going to deflate. The nations are trying to get rid of it. We gave billions of dollars to banks that had trillions of dollars of wealth.
You think those billions made any difference? It didn't make difference to them, but it would have to us. Who's going to pay for it? They're creating an economy of slaves. Oh, places like Walmart will exist. If you've ever worked for Walmart, I know people that have. You're a slave. They don't give you any benefits. They give you wages that you can make more money working at McDonald's. You do it their way or you don't do it at all. Best thing that we could do as a people is just not to buy anything from them. Avoid them. That's the big businesses. That's the ones that are going to cry when the whore is destroyed by the atomic bomb. They're the largest business in America. So don't tell me that they're not one of them crying out when the whore is destroyed in Revelation chapter 18. Modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Bram says, see, a man can say anything, but let God interpret that word. See? Now, we have our own interpretation. We say it means this. And this one, a Methodist says this, the Baptist says this, the Pentecostal says this, the Oneness says this, the Two-ness says this. And oh my, there you are. But God don't need no interpreter. He's his own interpreter. He interprets his word by vindicating it in the age that it's supposed to be for, the age that it's given for. We're not living in a Pentecostal age, we're living in another age, see? We're not living in the Methodist age, we're living in another age. We're living on up here to the bride age, the calling out of the church, and getting it together for the rapture. That's the age that we're now living in. To my honest opinion, that's exactly the truth. So when Paul says that there's coming a time when Peter prayed the same thing, that there would be a certain sweep of God, they both said that it would cause us to have the mind of God, the glory of God. And Paul tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In chapter 8 of Romans, he said we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. He said before that, he said the whole world, the whole world is groaning, the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Then there's got to be an age for that. And we're seeing it. I think it's quite ironic that we're seeing mountain lions. We saw one here just a couple months ago. We didn't see it, but a person who's actually dating a person that works with Elizabeth saw it. The county official saw it up in Springboro. They saw mountain lion. They saw it over by a male up by there. They even planted out meat for it, took it. They saw a female. Now they've seen black bears in the area. Why are these wildlife coming from the west? Why? Getting ready for the big kaboom. Brother Bram said that it's going to be the Salton Sea. He said that the ocean is going to go plumb to the Salton Sea. That's way into Las Vegas and places like that. And into Nevada. That means that the Colorado Mountains is going to be the border on one side. But you talk about a great shaking. They say that 1,500 miles around I think 750 in each direction or something like that, around Yellowstone is one big volcanic crater. It's called a super volcano. It's going to go one day. The whole thing, and they're coming to the interior. We've seen, over the last few years, we've seen coyotes move in this way. We're seeing lions now. We're seeing bear come in. They know something's up. And then people sit there and they watch their stupid TV sets and they believe what the NBCs, the CBS, the ABCs tell them. The animals have more smarts. The animals are preparing themselves. The people just sit there idly and say, well, it never happened to us because we're a great nation. This is not a great nation. This has become a third world country. This nation is under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. Now let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we don't want to disbelieve your word. You said these things will come upon us, overtake us, and they are. Not us as your bride, but us as a nation. Because this nation turned down the voice of the Lord their God. And it's taken 50 years for these things to start unraveling. And the curses now have overtaken them. not just come upon them, but it's overtaken them. We see that the the foreigner has come in to be rule over the people. We see that instead of being the lender, we are now the borrower. We see that instead of being the head, we're now the tail. We see that how this nation is being carved up, divided up. We see how the people are groping, and yet they think they're rich because they have a bunch of Chinese junk. Like Gerald Celente said, we are the laughingstock of the nations, because he said, what other nation do the people buy a bunch of Chinese junk and then they have to have rental units to hold it? And so, Father, we ask you to help us, Lord, to get some sanity. Help us, Lord, to get prepared. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee.